So I wanted to say good morning to each of you. It seems good to be back home again. It was a really good trip to Colorado. We had a great time with Brian and Allison. For those of you that like to drive and ride and see the countryside, we drove about a little over 6,000 miles in the last 7 weeks. So we visited places like Moab, Utah, and drove through the Arches National Park. If you want to see God's creation, it is amazing, absolutely amazing. To see how all those rocks got carved out, I have no idea how it happened. Doesn't look to me like there could have been any water there that made that happen, but somehow it happened. We also visited a little place called Crawford, Colorado. Crawford is so small, if you blinked, you would miss it. In fact, I'm not sure that you could really tell that you were there, except it's apparently got a post office someplace. I didn't see the post office, but it's there. But there's a reservoir, and Brian likes to run. And so when we were in Moab, he ran a half marathon, 13 and a half miles. And then in Crawford, he ran a marathon, 26 miles. And he says he likes to run, but he comes back with all these pictures that he takes. So I don't think he's all that concerned about winning. He's more concerned about observing God's creation and taking a picture of it so he can bring it back and show it to all of us, because at least I don't think I'm going to handle 26 miles and go see it for myself. So I built a gate for Brian. I tried to call it Brian's Gate, but Allison didn't think that was appropriate to advertise it quite that broadly. I cooked a bunch of meals because we share that responsibility while we're there, and we saw some of the most beautiful aspen leaves this year that I think we've ever seen before. It was absolutely gorgeous. I thought about showing you some of the pictures that I took, but then the sermon might get a little long. So at some point in time, I may be able to show them to you, but they're really beautiful this year. And so Mars and I, and I know this is a disappointment to Rick, and I've already told him about it, but Mars and I had prayed that this trip would be uneventful, right? We've had people cut in front of us. We've had people push us off the road. We've had shackles that broke on our springs. We have all kinds of issues. So we had prayed that, God, can this just be kind of an uneventful trip? It was an uneventful trip. So I'm here to tell you, God answers prayer. And in those prayers was not only prayers for our safety, but for each one of you as well. And I guarantee you that God answers prayer. You know, so I'm going to get ahead of myself just a little bit. So in this introduction to my sermon, that's called friendship, because we're sharing our personal experiences. We're going to talk about fellowship a little later. And there is a difference between those two. Several months ago, I even forgot where we were in Manassas, but there happened to be a van from McLean Bible Church. And I'm not trying to disparage McLean Bible Church at all, but I thought it was interesting. On the side of the van was family, not religion. And I thought about that. I said, that's kind of interesting. Three words. Simple, right? Family, not religion. Three words. They kind of talks about what McLean Bible Church is all about. And Mars and I have been to McLean a couple times, at least maybe three, I don't know, three or four. And I can tell you that that's pretty much what they do. They're a church that is based upon the Bible and really supports families. And so I was thinking about those things and what those things mean to each one of us. And I thought it was interesting. Chapel Springs, with Chapel Springs, has four words, an extra word. And it says, helping people follow Jesus. Clear River, nine words. Saying a deeper yes to the love of Christ. And Emmanuel Baptist, six words. Focused on the word, focused on Christ. these few words are really an attempt to help those that may be searching over the web or just looking to see what a church is all about. It's getting down to a very few words, three or four, five, six, maybe many as nine, right, that really states what the church is all about, what its focus is, and what it wants to do for each member in their congregation. And I, just to do a little history, I was around, as you might guess, at my 80th birthday 40 years ago. Seems like yesterday, but 40 years ago is when New Covenant started, a little over 40 now, but nonetheless. And Pastor Bob and Robin had each one, in their own special way, at a particular point in time in their life, had experienced kind of a one-on-one encounter with the Holy Spirit. It was almost like what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. And that personal experience that those two gentlemen had really formed the basis of New Covenant Fellowship. And back in those days, 1980s, the Holy Spirit had manifested itself in a number of different ways, and both at Manassas Assembly of God, which is now Chapel Springs, right, as well as New Covenant Fellowship. And while the focus was on the power of the Holy Spirit in each one's lives, the bottom line was, what's your relationship with Jesus Christ? And I remember sitting down with Pastor Bob and having a conversation about the relationship that we should have with Jesus. And I'll try to give you his answer. I'm going to paraphrase it since I don't remember it exactly, right? So 40 years ago. He said there's more to Christianity than just accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father that will release the power of the Holy Spirit into each of our lives. And we can experience that relationship and grow that relationship through fellowship. And I didn't fully understand Pastor Bob's answer at that time, but today I know his statement is true. Together, we can strengthen our relationship with the Lord. So remembering history and reading some of these mission statements, I decided, well, I'll sit back. What might the mission statement, not the vision statement, the mission statement of New Covenant, what might it be? Can't be very long. I like three words, right? I can remember three words. Four words gets a little questionable, and six or seven, nah. Not to disparage Rick, but I was told, since he's a Navy guy, I was told that if you wrote sentences longer than 10 words, the Admiral wouldn't understand it. So, and that just came from my experience of writing proposals. They told me, don't make long, complex sentences because the Admiral will never understand. So I was thinking, well, what would that be? And I was praying about it. I talked a little bit about it in pastor's meeting. And the word that came to me was relationship. One word, relationship. So I was thinking about that and recognized that, you know, we could have a mission statement that's simply R-N-R, R-N-R, not rest and relaxation, but relationship and not religion. And I really do believe that's the foundation of New Covenant Fellowship, is relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not religion, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. Have you ever looked up the definition of relationship? And this actually kind of caught me a little bit off guard. It's a little different than what I thought. Now, I read dictionary.com. You might want Webster's or Merriam or whatever, but this is the one. It says that relationship is a connection between two people based upon blood or marriage. There's two ways to think about that, right? The first one is We have a connection between Jesus and each one of us through his blood. As Don pointed out for communion, right? Christ shed his blood on the cross for each and every one of us. We have a blood relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't like that definition? How about the second one? It says, or marriage. Who are we? Who are we? There we are, the bride of Christ. That's correct. We are the bride of Christ. So any way you want to look at that, relationship with Jesus Christ is based upon his shedding of his blood upon the cross, right? As well as the fact that we are the bride of Christ. So first of all, right, to kind of understand that we are indeed a blood relative of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let's look at 1 John 3:1, which I think will be up there in a second. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We are children of God. Blood relatives, because again, if you look at Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Children of God, you and I, that's part of the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior. And secondly, as children, we have a relationship that builds a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, this comes from the New Living Translation, because I was looking for a particular word, as you might guess, right? But I did a little research, and actually I think the New Living Translation is very accurate. And it says in 2 John 1:9, anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. It says we have a relationship. Romans 5:18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings what? A right relationship with God and new life for everyone. This relationship is really important. And I don't know whether any of you do or not, but this is Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And part of this, and an old man needs glasses. Part of what has made me think about our relationship with Christ is, you can see all my paper clips in here, maybe, I don't know. But this is what Oswald Chambers says. He says, he is so easily our master and teacher that we have no conscious awareness of it. A relationship where all we know is that we are his to obey. Only one thing will bear the strain, that is, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus himself, a relationship that has been examined, purified, tested, until only one purpose remains, and I can truly say, I am here for God to send me where he will. But God wants us to be at the drab, everyday level where we live in the valley according to our personal relationship with him. This relationship is not just when we're on a mountaintop. This relationship is every day of our life. Whether we may be feeling exuberant or whether we're really down in the dumps, Christ is always there. So relationship is a very significant part of our walk in life, because it happens, that relationship endures every day. Now, if you were to look up religion, because this is relationship, not religion, if you look up religion, religion is a fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons. So we can have a list of rules, kind of like what the Jews had at the time that Jesus came. We can have the law, a set of rules, and most denominations do have a set of rules, right? So we can have a set of rules, and we can even abide by those rules. That does not mean that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It simply means you have a set of rules, and you know what they are, and you try to live by them. That does not make a relationship. You see, we can be religious and not have a relationship, right? But we cannot be in a relationship with Christ and not have a fundamental set of beliefs. And I would contend the Ten Commandments are part of that, right? But there are certainly more than that as well. So if we have this relationship, what kind of relationship should that be? And so my question really is, do you think that that relationship is a fellowship or a friendship? I thought this was interesting, you know, because I do try to look up a lot of things. And so the definition of these two words was very interesting to me. Friendships come and go because they're based upon feelings, common beliefs, or perhaps how close you live to the other individual. So you can be a friend for a while and not be a friend for a while. Friends usually discuss worldly things, like what is going on in their daily lives. That's what I said that in the introduction. I was talking to you about what went on in our daily lives as we made the trip to Colorado and what happened there. That's a form of friendship. It's sharing what happens in our daily lives. What do you think? Fellowship. Fellowship does not come and go. It is enduring whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley. A fellowship endures. And I was going to give you the example. Rob, my middle son, Lori, my oldest, and my daughter, and Rob's son, another Robert, right? Two of them are my kids. You know what? They can't get out of that relationship. I'm always their father. They can do whatever they want, and it doesn't make any difference. They are stuck. Rob here, the youngest, right? He's stuck. He's my grandson. I'm sorry, Rob. You can't get out of that. You are stuck. And that's kind of what fellowship is when you talk about fellowship with the Lord. Remember, you're a child of God, right? Isn't that what the scripture said? You're stuck because you can't get rid of that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later also. When in a fellowship, we talk about not about our daily lives, that's friendship. But when we're in fellowship with each other, what do we talk about? We talk about what the Lord's done for us, how much he loves us, how he's been a part of our lives and done healings in our lives, done other things, protected us so that we didn't have any accidents or any shortcomings in our trip. That's what we talk about when we're in fellowship. And God wants us to be in fellowship with him so that we can talk about those things, spiritual things. We need to be in fellowship. Friendship is a good thing. Fellowship is better because we really invite God to become part of our lives. It's kind of like some of the songs that Jordan sung this morning. So we are simply in this room right here, and I'm sure in other places as well, like on YouTube. We're a group of believers that are focused on having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and then growing that relationship each and every day. The question that I pose to you this morning is, so how do you grow that personal relationship? How do you make that happen? Well, the first step is you gotta wanna. Because if you're content of where you are with your relationship with God, I really want to encourage you to think differently this morning. As Pastor Bob, the other Pastor Bob, said, told me once again, no one knows everything about our Lord, so we can never know enough about our Lord and Savior and his great love for us. If we're content with where we are, we're missing the opportunity to know God's plan for us. We're missing the opportunity to know the depth of his love for us. And we're missing the opportunity to hear his still small voice as he speaks into our life. Complacency destroys our relationship with Jesus. Now, the first thing that I think of, and I find it difficult to distinguish between these two words, but the first thing that comes along is belief, which is also very close to trust. Can you believe and not trust? I don't think that's true. And can you trust but not believe? I don't think that's true either. So what kind of a relationship would you have if you didn't believe the other person, if there was no trust? Belief or trust is the very foundation of every relationship. If there is no trust in the relationship with the Lord, then the next three things that I want to share with you didn't have any meaning at all. I could just fold up my tent and go home, if you will. If you don't have trust, then why would you want to learn more about Jesus? Why would you want to do that? If you don't trust him, if you don't believe in him, why would you want to learn any more about him? If you don't trust, why would you want to communicate with him? Why do you want to talk with somebody that you don't trust or believe in? That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, maybe you can make some sense out of it, but it doesn't make any sense to me. And if you don't have trust, why would you want to gather together in the name of Jesus? In other words, why would you go to church if you don't trust in him? So the first thing is learning, right? If you trust, then you need to learn something, right? What kind of relationship would you have if you didn't take the time to learn all you can about the other person? It's important to know what the likes and dislikes of the other person are. If you really want to grow in the relationship with someone, you might want to read a biography about that person, if one exists, right? I've read a book that I would highly recommend to each one of you. The book is a biography of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by man, that describes how God has and will deal with humanity. And I totally guarantee you that it will have a significant impact on your life if your intent is to establish a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And the title of the book is, I think it's on the first page, The Bible. You know, this book, not a history book. Don't read it as a history book. I'm sorry. If you do, you're going to miss a whole bunch. That's not a history book. It's also not a book of stories that aren't relevant to us today. That's not what it is. Right? It's a book of amazing truth. It's the only book that I know of that was written thousands of years ago, and yet when you read it, I can see application to my everyday life. So David may have written a psalm, and when I read it, I say, isn't that just like it is today? It's not any different. You know, and it's the only book you can read the same passage multiple times and get a different message every time you read it. Because Why is that true? Because I'm different every time I read it. Right? I'm a different place in my spiritual walk with the Lord. And so he shows me something new and different. Even though I've read that passage a dozen times, I read it the 13th time and he shows me something else that I hadn't seen before. It's amazing. It's the only book that I know of that's written by multiple authors, and yet there's a common thread. And that common thread is Jesus Christ, from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. Look how many authors there are. And there's that common thread through the entire book. And it is also the only book that leads to salvation. You won't find it anyplace else. So how much do you trust the words in this book? You know, Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, when you read that verse, does it say you maybe will be saved? It's not in there. I suggest you don't try to put it in there either. But it says that salvation is a guarantee. We don't have to question it, right? It is a guarantee to us. And can we accept that as truth? Now, it does say that we must confess with our mouth, right, and believe that Jesus is real. It does say that, right? So there's a condition on it, right? But when you meet that condition, salvation is guaranteed. And then there's Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We talked about this a little earlier. God is the God of the mountaintop, and he's the God of the valley. Regardless of how deep you think that valley is, you can get way down in the dumps sometimes. Morris asked me if I ever got depressed. I couldn't remember when I'd been depressed. That's a gift from God, by the way, right? It's, well, I'm sure I have been. She reminded me that I wasn't at my top of the mountain when my dad passed away. But we have to realize that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He doesn't. We may think he does, but that's our idea, not his. His idea is, I'm standing by your side. No matter what, I am there. And that is God's word. Do you believe it? Do you trust it? Right? Because he is there no matter where we are in our walk. How about John 14:2? In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. So when you think about heaven, what do you think about? It says here that Christ says he's making a room for us. Do you think it's going to be a little scrawny room with straw on the floor? I don't think so. I'm sorry. If you think that's the room he's creating for you, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's beyond our comprehension what it may be like. But his word says he's building room for us. And we can, with all trust, recognize that whatever that room is, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't know, but I do know one thing. It's going to be perfect. Absolutely perfect. Because that's what heaven is. It is a perfect place for us. You know, Marcy and I have read the Bible cover to cover, and we've read the New Testament several times. That's why we're back reading My Utmost for His Highest. We could read it once again, but we chose to deviate from Bible reading every night to reading this book. But every time, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New, we see new things, and we gain new understanding, and we know more about the God that we serve every time we read it. So, you know, as a part of growing our relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jordan, I don't see him anywhere right now. Oh, he's in there. Jordan has recommended to the pastoral staff that we choose a book in the Bible and preach for a few verses of that book and how those verses have application to our daily life. And we are prayerfully considering that. We think it's a good idea. It's probably not going to start until January because we have missions coming up here in November. We have Advent in December. We have, I can see his face, can't think of his name.
Bevan,
there we go. Bevan here in early January, so this can't start until after that. Now, after learning comes communication. This is growing our relationship with the Lord. So what kind of a relationship with the Lord would you have if you never communicated with that other person? You know, and I chose the word communicate because sometimes we say we need to pray. And sometimes we interpret that word pray as we need to talk to God. Well, that's true. We do need to talk to God. But I think perhaps the most important part is we need to listen. And it is important to get away from the hustle and bustle of our everyday life, right? And to relax in the presence of God. And if you were to look at Matthew 6:6, it says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." You know, God through the Holy Spirit does speak to us. While we're out in Colorado, I knew that I was going to have the message for today, 26th of October. We were in Colorado on the 21st of September. And I said, "Lord, I want to do the sermon early. Get it all done." So, okay, Lord, what's the topic? And the days went by and I kept praying, "Lord, what is the topic?" And you know me, I'm a human, obviously, right? And I get impatient. And the days keep whipping by, and I say, "Lord, what is the topic?" And so, Monday, on our way back, the Lord said, "The topic is relationship." I said, you ask me, "Well, how do you know that was the Lord?" Well, you know what? The message just came together. All I had to do is sit down and move my fingers. And it just happened. You know, when you don't have the right topic, do you know how hard it is to write a sermon? It's almost impossible. Because every time you try to type it, you misspell the words, you make incomplete sentences. It's a mess. But when you have God's topic, it just comes together. And it really is a beautiful experience. And it kind of reminded me of 1 Kings chapter 19 and verses 12 and 13, which says, "And after the," this is with Elijah, it says, "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So are we like Elijah? When we hear that still small voice, do we step out and do whatever God calls us to do? And then the third thing in growing our relationship with God is gathering. What kind of relationship would you have if you only saw the other person through your own eyes? In other words, you never tried to see what other people thought or looked at any other aspect except through your own eyes. What kind of relationship would you have? And I would tell you it'd be very narrow, one-sided view of the other person. You know, you can learn a lot about the other person from the viewpoint of other people. And if you share with other people and get their viewpoint, you get a much better understanding of who that person is, Jesus. And as you share testimonies and see the impact that Jesus has had on their lives, your relationship with the Lord grows because you see the Lord working in multiple people, doing multiple things. It's a beautiful experience to understand what God is doing. And if you were to look at Hebrews 10:25, it says, not neglecting to meet together. What does that mean? It means we need to come together, not neglect coming together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's almost, well, it is almost a command that we gather together, that we join together, that we may encourage each other and understand what prayer needs are, like Don talked about this morning. You know, if we didn't get together, you wouldn't know what those prayer needs were. And so getting together is a very important part of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, I recognize that there are good reasons, such as health or limited time or just a distance of driving, so you use YouTube to participate in our service on Sunday mornings. But let me tell you, there's nothing like being here. It really is important that each of us be here, because together we can share what the Lord has done for us over the last week, and we can hear firsthand what every person is dealing with, and we know how to pray for them. And in knowing how to pray for them and learning those things, we can at the same time enjoy a cup of coffee and a donut. Now, what could be better than that? You know, to kind of drive this thought home of the importance of being together and being in the midst of other Christians, Marcy and I used to, in the past, have gone on lay witness missions. You may not know what they are, but they're a time of when a group of people get together and they want to minister to the congregation that they're visiting. And so we are a team of everyday people that believe in God and the power of the Holy Spirit that travel to minister to the people of the congregation. And each time we got there, and I don't know, we've probably been on 15, maybe. Oh, she says more. 20, I don't know, but a number, right? When you get there, there'll be some people that have gone before, like us, right? But then there'll be some new people you've never seen before. And you think, wouldn't you feel nervous about them and, you know, and what's going on and the answers? No, because within 15 minutes, it's like you've known them forever. You know what makes that possible? It's the love of the Lord flowing through them and through us. It is amazing to see that happen. There's such a unity, a camaraderie, if you will, a sense of trust and respect. And the only way that can happen is through the love of the Lord. But that's because we got together. We gathered together to share in what the Lord had done for each one of us and to minister to other people. If we hadn't gathered together, I would never have had that experience of things like that. And the people of that church would never have experienced the testimonies that came, that were there and were given to them as proof that God wants a very personal relationship with each one of us. So I hope this morning you realize that the bottom line of this message is that let's work together in our relationship with God and His Son, Jesus. And in that lay witness mission, Benny Robbins was always the one that had the message on Sunday morning. And he always ended his message with, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, and everybody's at a different point, we're not all at the same point. Wherever you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord, whatever your relationship with Him may be, there's always room for more. And now is the time for more. We are a church, a gathering of believers, bound together by our relationship with God and not religion. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you desire to have a relationship with each one of us. That you desire to love us, to be beside us no matter what. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that you desire that we share your love with those people around us, that they may come to know you as Lord and Savior as well. And Lord, I know that you long for that relationship. So Father, I just pray that in the days ahead, each one of us will grow in our relationship with you. And in that growth, we will realize how much you love us, how much you look after us and protect us, and how much you like to use your still small voice to guide and direct our every step, every day. We thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that your presence travel with each and every one of us as we leave and go to our homes. And we thank you that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have that relationship. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.